Well, you've had a couple of weeks respite. I may give you another bit more respite for today. I think it'd be good to just to put things into prophetic perspective. You can say that one. Having been away for 2 weeks, prophetic perspective is not really an easy thing to say. But for a lot of us, sometimes we think, that was a day, and we've had a difficult day, or that was a difficult week or a difficult month. But some of us, it's been a difficult year. Yes, you say. But we have a prophetic timetable of God's future direction for us that he wants us to be prepared for. And in that preparation and in that thing, we're in a place where the fire of God is touching us and where God wants to remove stumbling blocks. He wants to deal with things in our lives, and it just really isn't a very easy place to be. And we've looked at these scriptures in Romans 12:1, and I want to look at that perspective today. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. So everything that is going on, we have to see it from God's perspective, that God has mercy for us. He has enough for us to be able to overcome in every situation. And it's his love and his mercy that enables us to present ourselves to God as a sacrifice so that we can be changed and transformed, so that we can outwork his will and his purpose for our lives. And we've looked at these things, that actually sometimes it feels like you're in a cocoon and it's dark. Sometimes it feels like we're in a cloud and you can't see, in a wilderness, in a crucible, a furnace. And God uses situations and circumstances and relationships to actually change us and to highlight those things. And even today, as we've already heard, actually sometimes we just cannot see the things that are in our own lives until God starts to allow those things to come to the surface. And those situations and those circumstances are what does it. And it's not easy. And, a few years ago, so are we prepared for transformation? But yes, we're all prepared for transformation. And then, of course, transformation starts, and it's not as easy as we thought. 1 Peter 4:17 said, "For it is time for judgment to begin to the household of God." Before God can do things to the world, he's going to do things through the church. And therefore, judgment comes to us. And judgment is not a bad thing. It just says, this is right, and this is me, and this is wrong, and this isn't me. Because then we get a choice whether we're going to follow what's right and what's him or not. Hebrews 12:6 says, "The Lord corrects and disciplines everyone he loves." He doesn't punish us. He corrects and disciplines us because he's got something better for us. Something much, much better for us. An inheritance beyond our wildest dreams. But we can't receive that inheritance in the state we're in. So he loves us too much to let us stay the same. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful." How many people think it's grievous and painful? It's been quite hard, hasn't it? "But afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And this is the key, not to oppose the discipline of God, but to be trained by it and allow God to do what he needs to do in our lives. Allow him to be God from that place where we surrender. It produces a harvest of fruit which consists in righteousness, in conformity to God's will, in purpose, thought, action, resulting in right living. I'm sure we all want that. But actually what brings that is the process of discipline, that God tries to transform and change our lives. And it's whether we will give into it. Now, at the beginning of the year, I shared a prophetic word, and I want to reshare that word, and I want to share some other prophetic words that God's given during the year and some others that that other people have brought, because it puts a perspective to where we are right now. It is time to pray that the lid comes off and to call forth my angels who are waiting to start gathering and removing stumbling blocks both within and without. Now, that didn't seem that bad when we first heard that. Then it was holiness fire is coming. The highway of holiness has been prepared. It is time to walk in the river of fire. You've walked over it and felt its heat, but now it's time to be baptized in fire. The heat will turn idols back into the dust they came from, to be under your feet, not in your hearts. Now, heat is hot. And some of the things that we've been going through in this year have been quite hot. But the purpose is that it will bring us to that place where we're able to walk on the highway of holiness. That God will prepare us. Call forth the gathering angels. The lids are coming off the sewers. It really does smell when the lids come off the sewers. And I'm really sorry, but it smelt quite a lot this year. But if the lids don't come off, then you can't deal with what's inside. The secret, hidden things of the heart are about to be exposed. All I ask is for the willingness to submit to the fire that will refine, purify, and prepare you for true holiness. That's what God's been asking. Our willingness to submit to that process. I am about to restore your souls like you have never had, or whatever it says that, and lead you on the path of righteousness like you have never known. The purpose that God is bringing the difficulties that we've been facing is to place us in a place where we're trusting Him and no one else. Where it's only Him who's going to be our supply. Where it's only Him who's going to be our healer. It's only Him who's going to be our deliverer. That our salvation is worked out in fear and trembling. That we trust Him. And we do give up doing it in our own strength. Because He wants to restore our souls and lead us on paths of righteousness. And then it was this separate word, which is, I believe, not here yet. And I believe we still have a couple of years before this is going to fully start to take place within the church worldwide. But we've got to be ready. I am going once again to shake all things. I'm going to turn over the money changers' tables in my temple. I'm going to drive out the thieves and robbers from my temple. I'm preparing the whip right now to expose the attitudes and the motives of your lives. I'm going to expose in my temple, the church, those who are using it for their own purposes. There will be many who are exposed for who and what they are. My temple will once again be known as the Father's house, a place of habitation. My temple will be known as a house of prayer, where my words of truth will set my people free, and through free men, the world will be set free from the chaos and confusion and dominion of darkness it is in. My desire is to reveal sons to the world, true sons, living in the truth, true temples where rivers of my presence and power are flowing to fulfill my purposes. I'm preparing the whip right now, so be ready for motives that are selfish and self-centered to be revealed. Know for sure that my temple will be known as a true house of prayer. Now that sounds a really harsh word. And when I received that word, I really felt weighty under it, and I didn't want to share it for a while, and it was only when I met with some of the other leaders in the town and the spirit of prophecy came over me and I gave them that word that I first shared it. And at that time, it was quite hard. But God actually has used that, even within the local leaders here, to actually change how we do things and how we are with each other, because we want to be ready for what God's going to do. God is going to start shaking things loose. So this process we're in right now, if we embrace it, when this comes, when God starts to change and turn things over, we'll be ready. And we won't be shaken. It'll only be those things that are shaken which are not of God's kingdom. Another word. I have a great grace for this area. This place is to be a city of refuge. It is to be a harvest center. I'm not just talking about this church. This is this area. And an equipping center for the supernatural resources of heaven. I will release my glory on a humble people who are surrendered to my kingdom purposes. The time of grace for change is here now. I'm about to open heaven and pour out my love so people will be ready when discipline is released. Judgment will begin with my household. This is not to condemn, but to separate. I will bring a sword and fire to call out that which is mine. I will have a holy church walking on the highway of holiness. I love my church so much to allow it to remain as it is, too much to allow it to remain as it is. My desire is to raise up the gates to release my glorious presence. Are you willing to bow down so I can lift you up? I require spiritual authority to be released in righteousness and justice. I want the Joshuas and the Calebs to mentor my united generation, to walk in their inheritance. My desire is that none would perish, but you must be willing to abandon your man-made programs and return to the simplicity of my kingdom, not in wise and persuasive words, but in demonstrations of my spirit and power. Just be Christians, anointed ones, to be transformed into the image of my Son. Minister and serve as he served, in power with a gentle and humble heart. I'm calling you to raise up a united generation that is ready and prepared to fulfill their destinies, serving the purpose of God in their generation. You know, God has called us to be part of this, and we need to take it seriously. And that's why the level of transformation and the level of power that God's pouring out and the level of things that he's bringing to the surface is because of the level of call that he's given to us as a region and for this area that God is actually wanting us to fulfill our destiny and our calling in him. Now, it's really important that in this process that we realize that, as it says in Hebrews 6:11 here, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Don't give up before the end of the process. I know it's really hard sometimes. You think, well, I just want to give in. Give us a break, God. Well, he can give us a break, then it'll take an awful lot longer. So let's be willing to embrace the process. So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It takes patience to go through the process of transformation. It takes patience to go along with faith, to believe in what God is doing and not to give up. And in that process, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down in the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus went through the cross for us. Are we willing to go through surrendering our lives to him? Because there is joy set before us. It won't always be as tough as it is now. I'm not saying it is going to be easy ever, because we're always in a battle. But in this process right now, it's a place of preparation, so that we can look forward to what God's doing and seeing that there is joy that's coming. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And I want to encourage you right now, don't grow weary and lose heart. It's so tempting just to give in. Don't grow weary and lose heart. For you who are battling through addictions and battling through things, don't grow weary and lose heart, because there is an end. There is transformation. There is a place where God will change us into his image, where we will be overcoming those things that are now we're struggling with. So don't grow weary and lose heart. Let's stay in there together and support each other, like we did this morning, standing together, praying together, being there for each other when we need to be. Bearing each other's burdens when we need to. Helping each other when we fall and picking each other up. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. It is so difficult when we're going through difficult times to praise God. But actually, it's that attitude of praise which gives us victory. It's that which brings joy. Because joy doesn't come through circumstances. Happiness does. And it's great when everything's happy. But actually, when we aren't happy, what have we got left? We still have joy. Because joy is the presence of God in us. The joy of the Lord can be our strength. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. God wants us to keep going. An attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving is what will see victory. When Paul and Silas were in a prison, in stocks, bound up, in chains, What did they do? They praised God. They sang hymns. They exalted God in the worst place, in a prison. And what happened? An earthquake, and an angel came, and the doors were open, and their chains fell off, and they were set free. And God brought salvation. Because they didn't look at their circumstances and blame God or moan, which we all do at times, and because we're human. But they actually saw that God was the answer. So when we have our problems, don't look at the problem and make it bigger. Look at the solution so the problem gets in perspective. Because when we look at Jesus, we see a solution to our problem. When we look at what God can do, because nothing is impossible with God, we see the solution. When we look at our problems and keep focusing on them, they get bigger and bigger and more insurmountable. So I want to encourage you, keep that attitude of praise and thanksgiving. Keep focus and fixing your eyes on Jesus. Find that seat of rest in the eye of the storm. Because right in the middle of a hurricane, there is a place of absolute stillness. And God wants us to find that place of peace and rest in Him when everything around us is chaos and everything is falling apart and everything seems like it's going to pop. There is a place in God which will bring us rest. And it isn't easy to find it. But that's why we have to seek and pursue it with all our hearts. Matthew 11:28 says this, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Why are we weary and heavy laden? I would suggest it's because we're doing an awful lot of stuff in our own strength. Why are we heavy laden? Because we're carrying burdens that are not ours to carry. And He wants to lift off those heavy burdens off us. He wants to give us rest. But we have to come to Him. If we keep trying to do it ourselves, we get more and more weary and more burdened. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." When we turn to Jesus, when we look to Him, where we learn to take on His yoke, which means just doing the things He wants us to do, not what anyone else is telling us to do or anything, but just what He wants us to do, then we find rest, because we come from a place of rest. We're not striving, we're not struggling, we're not trying to work it out ourselves, do it in our own strength. We're trusting Him. And then we can find that place of rest, that seat of rest in the eye of the storm. It doesn't mean that our storms aren't around us. It just means we see them from a different perspective. And we come from them from a different perspective. A place of rest and peace and trust and joy in God, where we know God's grace and God's mercy is sufficient for us to deal with any situation. 1 Peter 5:6 says this, "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God." In other words, we have to admit that God is God and we're not. And we have to humble ourselves and say, "I can't do this anymore. I can't work it out. I can't do it in my own strength." Because when we do that, He will exalt us in the proper time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. How much is all? Everything means we can't keep anything for ourselves. Any anxiety, burdens, weights. We have to cast it all onto Him. Because He's got huge, broad shoulders that can carry every weight and everything that's in our lives. Because He cares for us. "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to someone to devour." The enemy roars, but he can't devour unless we let him. So in the situations that we face ourselves and the struggles and the things that we're going through and all the difficulties, be careful. Be careful that you don't give the enemy an opportunity. We need to be on the alert, because he will take an opportunity in every difficult situation to his advantage if we're not careful. Because even the situations that we're in, that God is using to transform us, the enemy will try and make it out that it's a bad God, that God is not good. All things work together for good for those who trust God. So we must be really careful when things are difficult, that we don't allow the enemy to rob us, to lie to us, Because all he does is try and intimidate us and bring fear on us, which then brings us back into carrying our own burdens and feeling more and more heavy and heavy laden. Now I want to share, just to finish with, some more prophetic words. These weren't given to me. I've just seen these words, and I feel God really wants to use these words to reiterate where we are and where we're going. This is the day of cutting loose. This is the day of shearing the strings that we've held, that have held you to the last seasons of captivity. This is the day of movement. A movement has now begun. Move with me. A new move has come into the earth realm. I am rearranging many structures to create my order for the days ahead. I'm calling a people who were not to rise and move with me. This is the day to shear away what has clouded your vision so that new vision can come. This is a time that I'm cutting loose the strings that have held captive wealth for your future. Watch as your Queen of Sheba comes and finds you and gives you your future. There will be movement of wealth in the earth. So know that I have cut you loose and the strings have been severed. You can now move forward and meet what you have been waiting to come to you. You can now reach the intersection point of your future. No, I am loosing your wealth. I'm setting you free. I am delivering a people, and they will meet me and enter into their future. Hear the sound of the wind in the mulberry trees. You will come from behind and catch up and gain victory over your enemy. I am extending your territory. I'm giving you new authority. You will face enemies that you have faced but never triumphed over. Face these enemies of your soul and watch me blow in your new direction of victory. I'm putting the reins of the enemy in your hand. Do not be afraid to set the direction rather than the enemy who has been directing you. I am overturning the tables of my temple. I'm overturning the tables where my people have communed and bringing them into a new place of feasting. They have grown weak from the spread of poverty that they have eaten from. I'm overturning the food that has produced infirmity, and I'm setting a table for healing and wholeness. Matthew 26:25 says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more worthy than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, they do not spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Where are we in our sense of God's provision for us? Are we trusting God, or are we looking and seeing there's lack? The whole world financial system is in a mess. Where is our trust in? And actually, it's going to get in a lot more of a mess coming. So we need to be ready to operate in God's system of provision, to trust him and see him provide, which is what he wants to do. Exodus 14:10 says this, "As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them." Here's a picture. Children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They'd come out with blessing. They'd come up. They were coming to the edge of the Red Sea. And then all of a sudden, the enemy comes up behind them. And they can hear the chariots coming. And they can see the dust being stirred up in the desert. And their reaction was, they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way, bringing us out of Egypt Their reaction was fear, was to blame God. God, why have you done this to us? Why have you brought us to this place where we thought we're going to come into all this blessing and now we're going to die? And it's what happens when things happen to us that we don't understand and we start looking at them from our perspective and fear takes hold of us. All of a sudden, it's like, what do? We blame everybody. Now, the reality is, this is what Moses said to them. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, if you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. We have to surrender and stop trying to fight for ourselves. Another version says the battle belongs to the Lord, not us. We just have to trust him. Now, right now, there's a place where it almost seems that the enemy is looking to overtake us, and before us, there's no way. And yet, what happened? Moses put forth his rod of authority, and God blew the wind, and it opened up a whole pathway for them to walk through. And God used the same situation to destroy the Egyptians who followed them. Because the sea came over, and they never saw them again. And Israel was never troubled by Egypt ever again. Had lots of other enemies that it had to deal with, but it was never troubled by that enemy. And God is bringing us to this place where we have to see there is no way forward other than a miracle. That's the only options we've got. And it was great to hear the testimonies of miracles today. Miracles of healing, miracles of life transformation. God is a miracle working God. But we mustn't come from a place of fear. We have to trust him and allow him to outwork it for us. He will fight for us if we put our trust in him. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, because he's going to accomplish it. Matthew 10:26 says, who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. God is a bigger God than we can ever imagine or think. 1 John 4:17. For by this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. It doesn't say that there isn't going to be judgment, but we can have confidence, because as he is, so are we in this world. We're here representing God, just as Jesus was representing God, and God's provision was with him. There is no fear in love, because God's love. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We must not be fearful of punishment. God is not here to punish us. He is here to change us and transform us into the image of God. He wants us to know that he loves us. His discipline and his transforming power in our lives and all the situations that we're facing that he's using to transform us, to show us where we need to put our trust, is because he loves us. And he has placed his mercy on us. Now, I want to finish just with some few more prophetic words. This is the day of my Gideon's call. There is a clarion Gideon call being released into the earth. And it is vital for my Gideon call to be heard. Now, Gideon was the least in his family, and his family was the least in his tribe, and his tribe was the least in Israel. So Gideon had nothing, and he was hiding away because of fear. And yet God called him. And he called him to bring deliverance and to set the whole people of Israel free. And he rose up. And he had to deal with idols in his family. And he had to get rid of some things and pull down high places. And then God raised an army. 30,000 people. And just so that army couldn't say that they did it themselves, God whittled it down to 300. God doesn't make sense sometimes. It would have seemed to be much easier to have 30,000 people going up against a big enemy. And yet God whittled down to 300 people who were of faith. And when Gideon's call came, they were obedient to God, and God routed the army. They didn't even need to fight. God did it for them on their behalf. There is a call coming now into the earth realm to separate the desires of my people. My people's heavenly desires have been muddled with their own carnal desires. In the days ahead, I will begin to separate the desires of my people so they can follow me. You started out with my desire to get to a new place, but your desires from the past season are coming up and you're being muddled, and in the call I'm extending to you. Beginning now, you must separate your desires so I can draw you out into that place of destiny. The teams and the troops that I have will be narrowed down. This will be a narrowing time. The corridor is narrowing in the midst of this sound. Listen carefully, for this clarion call is now being extended, and it will look like the days of Gideon. The anointing I will release will be a Gideon anointing. Although robbers have stolen at your harvest time, my anointing will overtake what was robbed you in the past several years. Now that there is a great separation that must take to overthrow the enemy who has been coming in and taking away for my kingdom purpose, he is moving at an opportune time. Therefore, I must move my people into a new timing. I will accelerate the times and manifestations of my power in the earth today. I must rearrange my people's call so their opportunities will be seen in a different way. I have shown you my glory. Only go where my glory is leading. You need to know that I'm giving you an extra shod of peace on your feet that will keep you whole as you move through the muck and mire around you. Do not, it should be be, not knee, lax right now. You're in to secure that which is needed in the next season. I will reorder the way you seek me. I will reorder the way you heard me. I will reorder the plans and the assignments that you presently have. This will be the beginning of the reordering so that you can produce what I need to be produced in the earth realm. I'm longing to manifest to see a manifestation of my promises that I have spoken over you. Little by little, you can retake what the enemy has taken. Little by little, you will overtake what is resisting, should be, the advancement of your destiny. Rise with me as I reorder what you're doing. There is a divine reordering and your work is changing. There is a divine reordering of the way you are thinking. There's a divine reordering of the where you're walking. There's a divine reordering of your watching with me. I will reorder your steps. This will be a time of divine reordering so I can secure the fields that I've called my people into. The enemy has grabbed hold and plundered your supply, but when I reorder, I will reverse and cause the spoils to be handed back into the hands of my children. Hear today the clarion call and know it is a Gideon time for my people. Heed the call. Rise up today and enter the corridor that is a narrow way. Many things will fall to the left and to the right. Even your body will be changed to get you through the next season, so that you can break into the place I have for you. I will have a strong people that do exploits, overtake the enemy and secure their inheritance. Good word. Now these words are coming today because God is speaking into our situations. I'll finish with the last one. Get ready, because the tearing down is part of the process. Do not look at the ruins, but look at what I can build with the rubble. The world was in chaos when I molded man. In chaos, I inserted creativity. I have found you sitting under the shade of a tree saying, "Why, Lord, are you doing these things this way?" I realize you have sought a hiding place in your trouble. Now the time has changed. I'm moving you from under the shade. Shake off your self-pity and allow my light of revelation to fall on you. I know that you feel exposed and vulnerable and are unsure of your boundaries of operation. This emotion exists because of the ruins of your past. I am changing how you will operate. I am developing a restoration process that will cause all that you have lost to return in a new way. New fruit is being developed. I can graft, prune, graft again to produce new fruit from destroyed vineyards. Therefore, let the remolding begin. Turn your face to the fire. You've tried to run and leave the fire, but now turn your face to it and watch the smashing, burning, and clearing of the last season occur. The wind of my spirit is in the fire this hour. I must send forth the burning so that there will be not an evil root left. The water will come after the burning, and then the remolding amidst the ruins will take place. If you fear my name, I will rise over you as the sun of righteousness. I will be your shade in the remolding. You will rise again. So turn your face, receive this fire and the flood that's coming. Face the wind of the fire and the rising flood. In the midst of this cleansing and remaking, shout, I will rise again. I want to encourage you to shout that today. I will rise again. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, have that attitude that God says he is going to rise over you so you can rise again. You can fulfill the purposes of God for your life. You can outwork all the inheritance that he has for you. We're in a place where it's been very, very difficult and hard. But actually, the darkest time is just before dawn. That's the time where things seem the worst. And yet, what did God say? There's joy. There's dancing that comes after the morning. We've got so much to look forward to. Let's not grow weary and give up. Let's persevere with faith and patience, inherit the promises that God has for us to fulfill his purpose in our lives. Let's get a prophetic perspective for what's going on and realize this is because God loves us. He has more than we can imagine or think ahead of us, but we have to be holy. We have to be ready, prepared to be transfigured and transformed into the image of Jesus to fulfill all his purposes for our lives. So although it's hard, it's because God loves us. And actually, there is good things ahead. It may be a while coming, but there's good things ahead. Let's put our trust in him. Stop trying to fight our own battles. Stop trying to do it in our own strength. And let's trust him. Let's stand back and see the salvation of our God, because it is coming if we don't grow weary and give up. Amen? Okay, just let's pray. Father, we just pray right now that your presence will rest on us, that we will find that place of rest and peace and joy in the eye of the storm that's circling around, that we will come from a place where we take your yoke upon us and we learn from you, because you're gentle and humble in heart. You will give us rest for our souls. But we thank you for our inheritance. We thank you for the words that you've spoken. That everything that's been robbed and stolen, you will restore and multiply back to us. And you will give us new and creative ways to go forward in this time where you will take what is rubble and ruins and you will rebuild. And Lord God, you won't rebuild like it was in the old. You're going to rebuild in a new and fresh and exciting way. And Lord God, we just ask that you will strengthen us and encourage us. And just as the enemy sought to sift Peter, Jesus prayed that his faith wouldn't fail. Lord, we pray that as we've been crucified with Christ, it's no longer us who lives, but you live in us. And the life we now live in this body, we live by faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. You gave everything to us, Lord, and we just want to give everything back to you. We surrender afresh to you. Look for your provision. We stand back to see the salvation of our God. You will destroy our enemies and fight on our behalf. We give you praise and thanks and worship in Jesus' name. Amen.